Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shea Bowes, as per usual, joined as per usual by the man with the plan, the man in the backseat, Augie, who's going to be guiding us through the increasingly clownish clown world. Come on, it's not a headline, it's not breaking news. We're really in it up to our tits. So let's begin. And where could you possibly begin at this time than in the Middle East? What's going on? You know, we have all of the old, 3 days to Kiev, right? Oh, you remember that one? We had, it's just going to take 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Now we're a month in now, basically. The Iranians are still firing missiles. The regime, as the Americans call them, are still in power. And the only protests now, Augie, at the moment that are actually happening in Tehran are in support of the government. That suggests to me that things haven't quite gone as well as the Americans may have liked it to be. Now, here in the Moscow Mules, of course, we try to give you a sideways view of what's going on in the world. We don't want to be mainstream, but it's hard not to be mainstream when most of the mainstream media is actually saying the kind of same stuff as we are right now, right, Augie? That, this is kind of going pitong. It's all going wrong. It's all going a bit pear-shaped. Tits up, as we say back in Ireland. But that doesn't stop both sides deploying their propaganda. And the Iranians have been deploying a bit of propaganda of their own. Very slick stuff. Forget about Windows Movie Maker, Pete Hegseth and his pals, behind their PC, knocking out this very glassy, glitzy Operation Epic Fury, Epic blah, blah, blah. The Iranians are a bit more subtle, and they're drawing in lots of past conflicts, right, Augie? Basically saying, we're actually standing up to the great beast, the great Satan. Yeah, that's what we're all about. Very interesting stuff. Well put together, thoughtful, thoughtful stuff. Let's have a look. Run the video, Augie. Even the American Indians are there, Augie. Palestine. Vietnam. Yemen, maybe? Epstein Island. And of course, the kids that were killed at Minab. And General Soleimani, who Donald Trump actually ordered the execution of. Let's not forget. Whoa. Augie, what's a bit of propaganda without a bit of Baal killing at the end, A bit of Baal killing. Remember they burned the big effigy of Baal just before this phase of the conflict against Iran began? They burned Baal, yeah. And, they are still pumping out their propaganda, still making very glitzy videos, still firing rockets, missiles, still controlling the Straits of Hormuz. Would you say that's a big win, Augie?
Oh, it seems like we're going to get tired of winning, Che.
Get tired of winning. Oh, yeah. Now, of course, this conflict of choice, come on, it wasn't as if Iran was really a threat to the United States of America. They told us not so long ago, check it out, that, they had obliterated the threat to America from Iran. So this is kind of a war of choice, whatever in the background, why, who, what, where. Yeah, let's move on from that. But what it has done, as Augie will tell us, it has shown the cracks in NATO. It's shown the cracks in this alliance. Basically, the fact that NATO without the United States of America is basically, a nothing. It's a nothing burger, one big nothing burger. Let's look at NATO. Turkey, a big Muslim country, won't be allowed into the EU. Then you've got Sweden and Turkey fighting with each other. You've got Spain and Portugal and Britain and all these different countries with even territorial disputes like Gibraltar going on. Are they really going to go to war for each other? No, I don't think so. And now, of course, since the Americans started bombing the crap out of Tehran, the Europeans have been queuing up to basically say, yeah, we're your friend when you're giving us cash, right, Augie? When you're giving us trillions of dollars over decades and basically, flushing our countries with your soldiers and their troops and their bases, and we're getting something for it, and you're giving us nuclear missiles during Soviet times and you're kind of protecting us, that's okay. But when the hits the fan and you up and you need friends to kind of join in to bail you out, that drunk friend that rings you up, I'm at the police station, Augie. Come and get me out, you know? You don't have to like it, but you should probably turn up for your friends, right? But that hasn't happened with the good old USA and their European friends. I don't think they like Mr. Trump that much at all. Let's have a listen to the French general, as Augie said, basically giving les two fingers, les deux digits, to the Americans. Well, not Augie.
Alors écoutez, alors je vais faire un plaisir. Il s'est tiré une balle dans le pied, il voulait envahir un pays de l'Union Européenne, le Groenland, il y a quelque temps, et puis maintenant, ses vieux amis qu'il n'a pas consultés, qu'il a méprisés, notamment les Britanniques, qu'il a dit, on s'en souviendra.
Il est trop gentil,
c'est la vie.
Eh bien, qu'il aille se faire foutre, franchement.
Attendez,
vous y allez. Very good friends. Well, Augie, you know, the Americans could have a point, right? They've been paying the bill at the pool party for a long time with NATO, right? They've really, really, really been the front and center of it. And they have paid far more, trillions of dollars probably more than anybody else in NATO, right?
Absolutely correct, Jay. And to be honest, I don't really understand this. The United States spends 62% of all the defense spending of NATO. And what do you get in return? Probably World War III with Russia in case some German or French politician gets his panties in a twist again.
So it's unsurprising that the big Don, our friend, you know, the great Don, great when he's great, awful when he's bad, and potentially catastrophically dangerous when he gets pissed off. And he seems very, very pissed off with his friends in NATO because they didn't join in the completely idiotic escapade in Iran, despite the fact he's still their friend. So you just got to say, you know, at what point are you a friend, at what point are you an advisor? Let's see. Let's have a listen to the Big Don's capital letters rant. Check it out on Truth Social. Now, he insists on still using this Truth Social, doesn't he, Augie? Despite the fact that no one else goes there. He insists on posting this there, and everybody immediately just takes a screenshot of it and puts it up on X or wherever else, or on TV like us. Let's have a listen to him basically screaming at NATO, saying how useless they are, and you don't love me now, and the next time you need help, you'll be sorry when I'm gone, and I swear to God, I'm going to come round your house and beat the shit out of your new boyfriend. Yeah, one of those, yeah. Run it, Augie.
NATO nations have done absolutely nothing to help with the lunatic nation, now militarily decimated, of Iran. The USA needs nothing from NATO, but never forget this very important point in time. President Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, not happy, not happy. Let's have a talk about the elephant in the room. It's a blue and white elephant, probably from New York, Chicago, London, or Eastern Europe, living currently in a very comfortable spot in the Middle East. Yeah, speaking with a Bronx accent or a London accent. Yeah, it's Israel. You get it, yeah. Basically drove their truck onto the lawn of the neighbours back in the 1940s and said, yeah, this is ours now because the ancient book told us so. It doesn't matter if you agree or disagree with how the state of Israel was formed, whether you actually know about the Nakba, as the Palestinians call it, the dispossession of the people from the land, thousands and thousands of people that were killed, the homes that were burned, the terrorism that was carried out by the Israelis, the nascent Israelis, against even British people. If you don't know about it, that's fine. Maybe you should educate yourself. But that's the reality about what's actually going on. Now, as we face into another period of show, basically, in the Middle East, of course, Israel is at the very front and center of this. Now, can you criticize Israel for this, Augie, would you say? Is it a thing? Are you allowed to say anything negative about Israel? Are you allowed to actually say, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't be bombing all of your neighbors? Is that possible, Augie, do you think?
I'd rather not, Shay, unless you want to be called anti-Semitic and then executed by Mossad.
Yeah, so here's the problem. Here's the problem, that you can't say anything negative about Israel. It doesn't matter that Israel is populated or it's a Jewish state. Forget about Judaism. No one's talking about Judaism because Judaism isn't Zionism, right, Augie? But if you do dare, in the public forum, anywhere, to say anything negative about Israel, you're probably going to be called an anti-Semite, a Jew hater, you know, a far-right Nazi, or whatever. You know, that's coming your way. And we're not making that up, right? Augie has put together a very anti-Semitic video, let me say, demonstrating the Israelis basically saying, you say anything about us, we're going to call you an anti-Semite. And we're also going to quote the Holocaust. Of course, the Holocaust was a very bad part of history, shameful on the part of the Germans, who are now the biggest supporters of Israel, doing basically the same kind of in Gaza. Yeah, but don't say that, because you'd be an anti-Semite. Run the video, Augie.
Why should the world tolerate you having nuclear weapons and not, say, Iran?
First, again, we never admitted to have such a weapons. But the very comparison is, I must say, it's very insulting, and I tell you why. We suffered one Holocaust. We listened to our neighbors.
Is it because of the Holocaust that you should be allowed to have nuclear weapons?
You know what? This interview was finished now. Your attitude is so hostile, and your questions are so arrogant, I don't want to speak to you anymore.
So you can't talk about the Holocaust or Israel's nuclear weapons that they don't have without being a anti-Semite, right, Augie?
Absolutely. Exactly because of the Holocaust, they should have the right to nuke everyone and ruin the planet Earth for everyone.
Okay, so just like the Americans, who are the only people to ever use a nuclear weapon in combat, ever, twice, and dropped it on two civilian populations, and how do people tell the rest of the world who can or can't have them? It all makes complete sense. And this Israeli truth-telling, or sort of bizarre psychology that's been applied, you know, it doesn't just stop with some minister in an interview. It actually goes right to the top of the pyramid and say, here's Benjamin Netanyahu explaining something which we don't really understand what he was talking about at all. I don't think he did. And remember, if you don't know what you're talking about, your enemies certainly don't either. Here's Benjamin explaining that Genghis Khan and Jesus Christ, I don't think they were even alive at the same time. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't, I'm not sure. Augie's the historian, he might explain afterwards. Explain that Genghis Khan would have killed Jesus, or Jesus would have killed Genghis Khan, and some way conflating all that with the fact that they're bombing the shit out of schools full of little girls in Tehran. Yeah, welcome to 2026. Roll the video, Augie.
Well, history proves that, unfortunately and unhappily, Jesus Christ has no advantage over Genghis Khan, because if you are strong enough, ruthless enough, powerful enough, evil will overcome good.
But what is his point? Is he Genghis Khan?
Is he admitting that Israel is evil?
Feels like it, right?
Tumbleweed moment, Ilya, maybe? Well, as we contemplate the wisdom of Benjamin Netanyahu, who's been telling us for like 30 years that the Iranians are about to bomb you like 2 minutes from now, also told us, don't forget, that you know, he could guarantee that if you invaded Iraq and removed Saddam Hussein, Augie, that everything would be absolutely perfect. They'd be selling ice cream and pizza in Baghdad. Yeah, maybe not. At least the sort of the omens are good, right, Augie, in Tel Aviv, right?
They're so good, but not for the Tel Aviv.
Yeah, the omens are good. Surely it means something. Anyway, look, check it out yourself. All looks a bit spooky to me. A bit Hitchcock, let's say. Run it, Augie. Ah. Well, it seems obvious to me that these are Muslim crows. They're Islamic crows sent from Iran. Of course. They're anti-Semitic crows, right, Augie? It's obvious.
They are acting very anti-Semitic. Especially that one.
Yeah, that one there, yeah. The guy in the middle. Yeah, smirking, yeah. Of course, the conflict in Iran has got legs, it's got tentacles, which are spreading out from this tiny choke point, which they said, you know, Iran could never close it, right, Augie? They said, you know, they wouldn't do that. You know, that's not going to happen. They haven't got the ability to do it. Well, guess what? They've gone and done it. And as I say, the tentacles are spreading out, the ripples from the pool, this globalized world. Only certain countries, right, Augie, are actually kind of insulated from this. Sanctions, Who knew? Anyway, there's also some issues, I believe, in India, Augie, where our Indian friends have decided to get a little bit animated. And this is doing the rounds on the internet. This could happen anywhere. It's not that it's India. But the pressure's on. In India, a lot of people use motorbikes and cars and little tuk-tuks to get around. It's very important. You need your petrol to make your money, to, you know, feed your family. So temperatures get a little frayed. Let's have a look at how things are in India at the moment. Run it, Augie.
That's a scene from the gas station.
Well, you know, the Indians are having a go there at the petrol pump. Yeah, so what? People get stressed out, queue for ages. That could happen anywhere. It's not that it's just India. And India isn't actually in that much trouble whatsoever when you look at the global list of countries that are really screwed, right?
Absolutely correct, Shay, because India has a reliable partner that has a ton of oil.
Who could that be?
Who could that be? That's right, guys. India is buying 60 million barrels of Russian oil for April. So probably they're going to solve their problems at the gas station. But you can't say that about some different guys, right?
Indeed. And of course, Mr. Modi and Mr. Putin, good old pals, you know. It just shows you a bit of multipolarity, a bit of BRICS, a few meetings, you know, standing toe-to-toe. The Indians stood with the Russians, said, we're going to keep buying the oil, you know, until the Americans put the pressure on. And now the Americans are asking, you know, the international community to withdraw sanctions so that the Russian oil can actually flush in to solve the problems for the show that has been caused in Iran. You know, you can't make this stuff up. And of course, Augie, guess who? Our friends in Europe, the Russophobe elites, Kaja Kallas and Ursula von der Leyen and Guy Verhofstadt, all these clowns who said they were going to cut off Russian energy forever, they are actually screwed as we speak. They know they're screwed. The dogs in the street know they're screwed. But they are now left with the very unpleasant reality that they're going to have to kind of crawl back to the Russians and say, excuse me, Mr. Putin, yes, any chance of a little bit of, well, a what? So a chance of what? Can we have a little... Yeah. No. Correct, dogs?
Absolutely correct, Che. And the situation has gone so bad in Europe that, for example, in Germany, locals flock to Poland to buy cheaper fuel because they can't afford the one in Germany. So what do the German authorities do? They ban doing this.
Aha. Remember the last time the Germans flocked into Poland? Ah, happy days. Oh, yeah. Run the video, Augie.
This is how Germans see the situation.
Either.
Wow. You can't make it up. You can't make this stuff up. It's absolutely insane. Wow, wow. Well, you know, as they say, it seems that the good old EU has made a rod for its own back, Augie. And is anybody really feeling sorry for them? Not on this side of the pond, old chap. Not over here. So, Augie, there's one common denominator here, right? There's one sort of, you know, piggy in the middle, let's say. Piggy in the middle. No, let's stick with piggy in the middle. A little green piggy in the middle. A little 4'10" piggy in the middle. Sort of, you know, desperate to remain relevant. But also desperate full stop, because their economy is collapsing. Essentially, their currency has collapsed. Their demography, the actual population has collapsed. It's been cut in half. And nobody really wants to know now, even the Europeans. The Europeans are now preoccupied with surviving. Very lucky that this happened in springtime, not in winter, right? They're interested now in going back to Russia. Everybody's talking about it. We've had the Dutch Prime Minister, Bart De Wever, saying, you know, we got to start talking to them. We even had Stubb, Mr. Stubby Stubb, saying, look, let's be pragmatic. We're going to have to talk to the Russians someday. There's some very difficult, cringy conversations going to have to happen when it comes to cozying back up to the big Russian bear. And that piggy in the middle, little green piggy, is Volodymyr Zelensky. Unelected, won't be elected if there is an election. Could be hung from a tree by his Nazi friends if he gives up Donetsk and Donbass, which the Russians are taking. Anyway, it's kind of all bad news. And a bit more bad news when he was asked, would his own kids actually serve in the army and go east to die for Mark Rutte and Ursula von der Leyen, who aren't answering the phone right now. It ain't looking good for you, Vlad. No, it ain't. Run it, Augie.
Your son wanted to be a soldier. when he grew up at the beginning of the war? Does he still want to be a soldier like so many young men in Ukraine?
This is a choice what to do. For me, the most important thing is the choice to be in Ukraine.
Now, while Mr. Zelensky is talking about a choice to join the military, we've put together a little mashup, let's say, of people being given exactly that choice to go and die for NATO in the East. Yeah, check it out. Run it, Uggy. Well, despite the fact if Vladimir Zelensky decides to actually send his kids to die for NATO, it doesn't matter. Because at the very centre of the problem in Ukraine is a very small but, you know, disproportionately influential group of people who are essentially Nazis. They are Nazis, okay? As of Pravi Sector, Right Sector, Tornado. These are the most brutal, horrendous people who are also being paid and bigged up and paraded around Europe by the libtard left, the gays, the LGBTQ people, who would be pushed off roofs in Lvov by these very people should they retain power. And that's what it's all about right now. Because no matter what happens in this war, Russia's going to be left with a hardcore little group of Nazis, because that's what they are, who are actually raising their kids, right, Augie, to actually follow on this poisonous, toxic Nazi ideology. This is for real. Check this out. This is a video which we discovered of a woman very proudly showing how she's adorning her son, her tiny little son, in wolf's angle crosses from Azov, other ideology to do with Ukrainian ultra-nationalism, which is basically Nazism, for sure. What chance do these kids have? Not a lot, we think. Руна Огі.
Як мати сина, я намагаюсь надати йому правильний приклад в усьому. Від українських традицій до ідеологічної спадкоємності. А як засновник ветеранського видавництва Рейнсхаус, я хочу, щоб мій син
подивився. So what the like, I mean, this is indoctrination in its most pure form, right?
Самопосвята з ідеєю нації є і у нього. Що тут можна додати?
Україні. Look at this shit.
Kids should be out of politics.
Absolutely horrible. When I saw the little dude in the silly Ukrainian traditional dress, I thought it was Budanov until I had to look a bit closer. It's not. It's the kid. Now, while there are a lot of hardcore Ukrainian nationalists and Nazis, for sure, in, you know, Western Ukraine. In the east of Ukraine, most people speak Russian. Of course, the vast majority of people in Ukraine generally speak Russian. Have no problem doing so, like in Moldova, like in Bulgaria, like everywhere else. It isn't a big deal. It's just a cultural reality from the Russian Empire, which existed a long time before the makey-uppy country of Ukraine did. Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Lenin. Thanks for leaving us this little nugget of joy. Now, Mr. Zelensky, who now portrays himself as a radical Ukrainian nationalist and a scholar of Ukrainian national identity, couldn't even speak the language until a couple of years ago, and he's rumored to still speak Russian. And that's where he made all his money. Let's not forget, Vladimir Zelensky was a comedian who made all his money in Russia, performing for Russians, taking Russian rubles. That's where he made his life. And there wasn't a big deal. There wasn't a problem in a more rational Ukraine. It's only a problem now because the truth hurts. Let's have a look back to a very poignant and very interesting storytelling by Mr. Zelensky. A young Zelensky mocking the then president, Petro Poroshenko, for suggesting that Crimea would ever be Russian again. This is 2016, 2 years after the Russians were forced to intervene in Crimea to protect the population there, who were overwhelmingly welcoming the Russian military by over 85%. Here's Zelensky basically mocking and joking about the fact that Crimea would ever be part of Ukraine again, something that he has insisted now since he took the couple of billion dollars of USAID money into his back pocket. The man is a complete fraud. And we've got the receipts. Run the video, Augie.
I give you my word, by next year, we will take back Crimea. Of course, I don't really believe it myself, But as president, I have to instill confidence in you, faith in tomorrow, blah, 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 and all that stuff.
Oh, he's still playing it by the book. He's still, and you know, a lot of things in Zelensky's life have been sort of pre-written, yeah? Servant of the people, check it out. So that's it. The train pulls into the station yet again. The end of another episode. As per usual, we enjoy making it. We love when you join us. And you're joining us in bigger and bigger numbers. Get involved. Do post your comments. And do let us know what you think. And any ideas, you know, we're always ready to listen to a certain extent. And, you know, as the mainstream media kind of aligns more and more with us. Remember, we told you first. We haven't been making it all up, you know. Yeah, well, maybe little bits. That's Augie's fault. So until the same time, same place next week, look after each other, yourselves, and God bless. We'll see you then.